continuing with our look at the book Balagha, a book that is focused on young women when they reach the age of 9, where they assume responsibility of their deeds. I promised today we would look at the letter H from Balagha, and we would look at the concept of hijab. Well, the word hijab means that which appears behind a curtain, and it's referred to as a woman's covering. The fuqaha, the scholars of Islam, use the word satr and not hijab. A wonderful scholar of ours called Shahid Mutahhari says that it would have been best if the word had not been changed and we had continued to use the word satr, which meant covering, because hijab gives the idea of a woman being placed behind a curtain and probably even gives an implication that she should be imprisoned in the house. And sometimes then we develop this fear, and I'll call it hijabophobia, because it's a fear of a covering which compels one to avoid it despite the reassurance that it is not dangerous. I'll repeat that again. The hijabophobia we have today is the fear of a covering, a piece of material barely 50 centimeters square becomes an object of fear, which compels one to avoid it despite numerous reassurances that really it is not dangerous. So, in a nutshell, it is really the wearing of decent clothes which cover the whole body, including arms and legs, and covering the hair with a scarf. Hijab also involves the decent behavior when it comes to the opposite gender. In essence, it's a declaration of identity. It's a non-verbal message which says that I am being loyal to myself and my creator, because this is what the creator wants. And we will look at the verses of Quran. I am not a victim. You will not pull my strings, because I do that myself. I am unique. I will not be compared with the icons that the fashion industry contrives to sell their goods. There is a certain code of conduct that you will observe when you interact with me. And it's really a protection from sexual harassment. It's a non-verbal message again, which says, with me there will be no sexuality in the public domain, and I will give up no mixed signals. So let's first look at history. Let's look at what happened, how this came about, and how it is relevant in the world we live today. Let's go to Surah At-Taqwir, Surah number 81, Ayah 8 and 9. In there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُعِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. The day of judgment will be the day when the newborn infant girl child will ask, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For what sin was I killed? And I'd like to take you through a scenario. Imagine a child being born, a beautiful young lady being born. Imagine this baby, just as she's born, the mother is really fearful now because she knows that this baby will be buried. This is the custom. Imagine dad telling mom, we have to bury her, and mom saying, she's still a baby, let her stay, she's okay. But dad loves her, and dad knows that if he does not bury this child, she will be used and abused, just as he uses and abuses women. He sees the society, and he doesn't want to see his daughter like that. So, according to custom, he takes his daughter for the ritual burial. He cannot sleep at night, because he can still hear her screaming, Ya Abi, oh my dad. But this is what he does, because this is the custom. This is how he feels, because he doesn't want his daughter abused. Now, in every society, we adapt to the judgment of the society. Within the environment, we accept its behavior, its dress, its attitude. And with each experience and each incident, there's a shutter which is placed on our personality. And then with the countless shutters, it sort of leads to the loss of the identity of one's own being. Now, with that concept in mind, bring the picture of bearing girls in this era, probably for the same reasons. You see, we bury the minds of our daughters in the pit of a media machine which bombards us with images of success. Look at our daughters. They're bombarded. Everywhere they look, they're told, this is the image of success. It's got to be the way you look. Your image is the most important thing. The rise and fall of hemlines is paramount. And then she believes that maybe if she drapes herself semi-naked over a car, it is her image that made, designed, and sold the car. And society encourages the burial because it's a means of publicity, so that we may become a customer of their products, so that we may only worry about what shampoo to use, what color this season, what brand, which magazine. And parents, out of love and their own insecurities, we submit, not realizing it's a bottomless pit. And our daughter's free fall. Now, when that happened in Makkah, understand, to address the issue, the Prophet gave us a solution which works for now as well, to free women. A messenger was sent. And his solution is encompassed in Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, Surah Al-Nur. Let's look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab. Ya ayyuhan nabi, O Prophet. قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين. Say to your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers, يدنين عليهن من جلابهن, that they let down upon themselves their overgarments. ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما. This is more proper for them, so that they may have an identity, so that they're known. And they will not be harassed. They will not be given trouble. And Allah is forgiving and merciful. Let's look at what he says in Surah An-Nur. He says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Say to the believing men that they cast down their looks and they guard their private parts. That is purer for them. Surely Allah is aware of what they do. And then he continues in Ayah 31 saying, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and say to the believing women, يَغْضُضْنَا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ, that they cast down their looks too. وَيَحْفَظْنَا فُرُوجَهُنَّ, and guard their private parts. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا, and they do not display their ornaments except what appears thereof. وَلْيَضْرِبْنَا بِخُمُرَحِنَّ عَلَى جُنُوبِهِنَّ, and let them wear their head coverings over their bosoms. وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ, and let them not display their ornaments. وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَا بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتَهُنَّ. وَلَا يَضْرِبْنَا بِأَرْجُلِهِنَّ لِيُعْلَمَ مَا يُخْفِينَ مِنْ زِينَتِهُنَّ, and let them not strike their feet, so that what they hide of their ornaments may be known. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, and turn to Allah, all of you believers, so that you may be successful. Now from this we can understand that the address is made to the women of the believers. And before we analyze these verses, let's differentiate between outward expression and inner belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expounds this in the Quran. If we look at Surah Al-Hujurat, he says, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ عَمَنَّا كُلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ كُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يَدْقُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. The dwellers of the desert say, we believe. Say, Muhammad, tell them, you do not believe. But say, we submit. Iman has not yet entered your hearts. You see, the nomads, they came and they surrendered. They outwardly professed Islam. But Allah says, O Prophet, the actual status of their hearts is that they're not true believers yet. Faith and belief has not settled in their hearts. Thus, those to whom the verse is addressed are those whose state of heart is convinced. They do not reject any order of Allah. Because that is why I said, when it says women of the believers, it means those who have believed. This is whom the verse is addressed to. Now, let's have a look here. Who are believers? When they are given an order, they do not reject it. Because Quran says in Surah Yunus, Ayah 39, بل كذبوا بما لم يحيطوا بعلمه. Those who reject the orders, Allah says, they reject that which they have no comprehensive knowledge. So those who reject the orders of Allah is because of a lack of knowledge, because it makes them unable to accept the article of truth. Now with all this in mind, let's look at the implications of the ayat of hijab that we've looked at. Hijab in essence means lowering the gaze, men and women. We've taken this from these ayat. The protection of sexuality, men and women. That's sort of the behavior code. You will look with respect, not exposing your sexuality. Then we find the head covering. We find a cover. So let's look at the dictionary of classical Arabic, Aqrab al-Mawarid. Here the khimar refers to such pieces of cloth which are used to cover the head. Imam Abu Abdullah Qurtubi writes, women in those days used to cover their heads with the khimar, throwing its ends upon their backs. This left the neck and the upper part of the chest bare along with the ears. And he said, Allah commands them here to cover these parts with the khimar. In other words, bring it from the back to the front. Then the other thing we find, it says, do not draw attention to zina, to beautification. Why? Allah gives answers as well. First of all, he says, it's declaring an identity, as I mentioned in the beginning of this talk, that it's an only non-verbal communique that declares one is a Muslim. I remember walking through a school playground many years ago, and I remember a little child came up to me and said, you're a Muslim. And I said, yes. And then he said, you're a terrorist. And you just had to look and think, although this was a negative one, a negative comment, it was a form of identity. It is what he had seen on the media, and he did not understand that I believe in a religion that doesn't even agree for any harm to come to any innocent person. It is a dhulm. He didn't know that I come from a religion whose book says, if you save one life, it is as though you have saved humanity. And if you take one life, it is as though you have killed the whole of humanity. But khair, it was an identity. On the same basis, I remember, again many years ago, walking with my husband and bending down to tie my shoelaces. And a woman came up and she told me, does he make you bow down to him in the streets as well? Again, an identity, but an ignorant identity. But at least a form of identity. Today, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, it is not so. And hopefully things have got better. So, if I don't wear hijab as a Muslim, there can only be one of two reasons. The first reason is one wishes to draw attention to one's looks. So we've got to understand that that's the first reason. And if that's not a reason, then maybe I wish to blend in or be accepted by a certain group of people. But I've also got to remember that I will be raised and identified with the group that I aspire to be like or with. So it's quite important to understand the concept of hijab. It is a direct order of the Quran. It's not something that comes from a culture. It is Allah. It is the universal book, and it is the creator who gives this order. An absolutely awesome order. I don't even have to speak. And they know who I am. I am one who is attached to my Rabb. But hijab does not mean that you've got to dress shoddily. You can still dress smartly. And in our book, we've put some pages where you can design your own hijabi outfits, your headscarves, and the abayas that are so beautiful. I'd like to end with a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who says that if you have a pearl in your hand and somebody calls it a peanut, it won't become a peanut. It will remain a pearl. Recognize the pearl you are. And look and feel and think and act as who you really are. Who are you? If you're a Muslimah, look like one.